And we off and gone. Okay, let me get my window going. All right. Yeah, that's what I said, Fred. I'm trying to learn WordPress, and there's some issues I'm running with certain themes that, you know, you can only do. Certain themes you can only edit, you know, the wording and stuff. So, I mean, I still got a lot to play around with. But anyway, folks, it's Friday night. Yes, I have been sick for the last 2 weeks, and quite frankly, at one point I thought I was going to, you know, go meet the Lord, because quite frankly, when you don't have health insurance, there's not much you can do, you know. But it turned around for me on the 19th. People were praying, and evidently whatever happened, it turned around. I'm not 100%. I still get a little woozy and weak. I have lost so much weight, I can't even keep my clothes on, but we're getting there. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm disappointed some of the other folks are not here tonight. I don't know where Villagen is. He used to be another one that was a diehard here on Friday nights. But Coram used to come here, but now he quit coming even to this. So we're just going to go with it. But I did start on this message, and this was the message 2 weeks ago before I got sick, and I just finished it up today. So, you know, and I gave a lot of thought to this, and it was brought up to me several weeks ago about, you know, what people must do to get to heaven. Now, basically, us here tonight, we know what it takes to get to heaven, but generally, there's a lot of people that don't understand how to get to heaven. Quite frankly, there's a lot of people who think they are going to heaven, and they're going to miss heaven. And polling data, when you look at it, and I kind of did some look up, and a data poll shows that most Americans believe they will go to heaven when they die. Most of them think that, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Yeah, that's no problem. I got it. I'm covered, you know. But however, the Bible warns us that simply being a decent person, living a righteous person, living by moral and ethical values, quite frankly, is not enough to be accepted by the Lord. Many people think, you know, just because I do nice things, just because I go to church, just because I give, just because I help people and I do this and I do that. Folks, I'm sorry to say, but it's not enough to be accepted by the Lord. Each of us here tonight truly knows how we are accepted by the Lord, and that means repenting of our sins and submitting ourselves to Jesus. But these folks out there that's doing all these good things, they think, hey, I'm covered. I'm cool. I even have some people, even my own dad says this, and he's a Catholic, and he says, well, I'm a Catholic, I'm okay, so I'm going to heaven. And many Catholics, you know, out there I talk to believe in the same thing. They're going to heaven. But Jesus clearly says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. And that's a fact, folks. That's God's word saying that. That's not us making things up. That's not me just saying that. That is Christ himself saying that. And quite frankly, you know, as I say, doing these other good works and doing good things, you know, it's not enough to be accepted by the Lord. And in fact, there are a number of ways, like I said, a person can live a good life and still be condemned on a day of judgment. Wow. Now, just because someone is in church or even attends frequently or even regularly, that they therefore are Christians in their minds and they are going to heaven. In fact, many people, and you think about this, and I think y'all know where I'm going with this. In fact, many people miss heaven just by 18 inches. Now, if I had my video, you know what I'm talking about. I'd be pointing from my mind to the heart. You get a tape measure and measure it, and it's 18 inches. Quite frankly, that's the difference of their minds to their hearts. So if you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. Starting with verse 16, it reads this. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. In verse 22, which is the striking one that hits me hard. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to gather here tonight. Father, and thank you for just allowing me just to be here to present this message again. I know you laid it to my heart. I might be preaching to the choir here. I just don't know why you directed me in this area. You know, I just don't get it. You know, I wish there was some that used to be here or come here tonight, because they really need to hear this message. But I ask of you to anoint those who are here tonight. They have taken time to be here. They came here to listen to this. And Father, I ask of you to anoint them and bless them and put a protective hedge around them and let them know that you love them very much. And Father, help them in whatever areas they need. Help them in life. Help them in what they must face. And let them know that you love them very much. Thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to present this message. Thank you again for allowing me to get healed and get through my sicknesses, because it was a rough patch, and I'm getting better, and that's all because of you. And that's why I want to give praise to you, the glory to you, and the honor to you, because you are the one who's doing the ultimate healing, not me. But Father, thank you again for being with us in mind, body, spirit. We praise you and glorify you. All in Jesus' name, we say amen. I'm going to grab some water real quick. Now, y'all seen the title, and I posted it on a Facebook page. And excuse me, my voice is still a little bit hard because I'm still recovering on that part. But the title of this message tonight, How to Miss Heaven. Now, it might kind of seem a strange title, like I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. Why is Brother Jimmy preaching How to Miss Heaven? Well, maybe after this message, you may understand where I'm going with this. But see, folks, in these passages of scriptures, we find a very sincere, religious young man approaching Jesus to inquire about the means of living forever. Now, who does not want to live forever? Now, you would see me, I'm raising my hand, you know, but I do. I'm sure all of us do. I'm sure every person you may talk to, you know, that you or I have met in our lives wants to live forever. But many are just like this young man. They become interested in spiritual things and come face to face with the Lord Jesus, but they do not follow through and receive him into their lives. What a tragedy, my friends. What a tragedy. Many people have missed Jesus throughout the years, and even after 2,000 years later, people are still making the same mistakes that young man made back then. I would like to show you tonight the mistakes that this young man made when he came face to face with Jesus. In fact, it might be, and I ain't saying this, you know, I mean, I'm not here to, you know, point fingers or nothing, because that's just not my style, but it's just how I'm led to preach it. In fact, it might be that you are making some of the mistakes that the young man made. It is my desire tonight to help anyone from making the same mistakes this young man made. So if you want to miss Jesus and the salvation he has to offer, then, like the young man, my friends, this is all you have to do. The first point for tonight is on how to miss heaven. Look at verse 16. And when you look there, what's happening to this young man and many people, they are having the wrong ideas about salvation. Now, I'm sure people that you encounter also has the wrong ideas about salvation. Now, notice in this verse that the young man, he asked Jesus, saying, "What good thing shall I do?" Just like then, and even now, many people have the wrong idea or misconceptions concerning salvation. And they are, and you probably are familiar with some of these. But here's where a lot of people have a misconception concerning salvation. Many believe, hey, they can earn their salvation by works. And what I mean by that, they think they can go about doing good things, and they can give money, and they can help people, and they can build homes, and, you know, and be nice to everybody they encounter. But that's what they're thinking. That's what their wrong conception is about salvation. Oh, if I do enough works, or some you may have heard it called works-based salvation, if I do enough works, I'm going to get into heaven. I know y'all heard that term before, works-based salvation. But sadly, many people, that's what's happening to them. They're trying to do things by works. Another one which many people have a misconception about is rituals. And by saying this, many people believe in just getting baptized. Now, what they do, they think, well, if I just go get baptized, I'm saved. I'm sorry, folks, but if you have that mindset where you just go get baptized thinking that you're going to get saved, but you don't surrender your life to Christ, all you did was, in my words, got wet or took a bath. That's it. True baptism of the Holy Spirit comes when a person says yes to Jesus Christ and surrenders their life to Christ. Then they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. But many think if they just go to church, you know, I'm going to go to church Sunday, I'm going to ask the pastor to baptize me, then I'm okay. That's a wrong misconception with many people. Other rituals, you know, like I said, they think, well, you know, if I keep donating a lot of money to the church, I give money to missions, I give money to the poor and the hungry, oh, that's got me good. But folks, that's nothing but rituals. How about this one? Relationships. Now, I don't know if you may have heard this, but I've seen this in my own encounters as being a pastor. Many people think by, oh, you know what? If I just get right with the right group of people, I'm okay. Or if they think they get into the right church, hey, I'm okay. Or if they think, you know, hey, you know, if I just get hooked up with the right denomination, I got it made. Now, many people think, you know, hey, if I just say, hey, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic, I'm whatever, hey, I'm saved. I'm sorry, folks. Well, that does you nothing. Does you nothing. Well, how about this one? I know we've seen this and encountered this. Religion. That's right. And it's saying, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Listen, folks, salvation is not about do, it's about done. Let me repeat this. Salvation is not about do, it's about done. You and I can't do. It's already been done. There is only one way to salvation. There is only one way to miss hell. And only one way to heaven. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, which reads this. For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we know the famous one, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My friends, if you are ever going to be saved, listen to this very carefully. You must go by the way of the cross and meet Jesus there. That is the only way to secure your salvation. All these other things I just mentioned gives you a misconception, and many people in this world today think that way. Folks, the only way you are going to be saved is by the way of the cross, and you're going to meet Jesus there. Period. Which gets us to our second point for tonight. You look at verse 16 through 17. And the second point is, with many people missing heaven, they miss heaven because they are having the wrong ideas about the Savior. And that's right, they have wrong ideas about Jesus Christ. Notice what the young man called Jesus. Notice what he said, and I read that, y'all heard it. Notice what he said, good master. He was addressing Jesus as merely as a good teacher, a great man, but not God. Have you noticed that? Have you really paid attention to that passage right there, that verse? He was referring to Jesus just merely as a good teacher, but not as God. Listen, any other views concerning Jesus other than him being the Lamb of God, the Son of the living God, Savior, will never bring you to a place of salvation. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1, and you can read from verse 1 all the way through 14, but I'm just going to read the first few in chapter 1 of John 1. And it says right here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yes, he was and is a great teacher, our example. But he is, my friends, also God, if you read those passages, the one I just read, very carefully. Many will try to dispute you and said, Jesus never made a claim that he was God. Oh, yes, he did. It says so right there in John 1:1-3. He also made a claim when he issued the seven I am statements, because when he says that I am the bread of life, that I am the resurrection, that I am the truth, the way, and the life, that I am the sheep, when he mentioned all those I ams, those law keepers, those scribes, those Pharisees, they knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew exactly he was God. But yet they refused to hear the truth. Yes, folks, he is God. And according to scriptures, anything less makes him less than God and you less than saved. You must believe in him, or no one will never be saved. Listen to those who have seen him. He really is and believed. Look at Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. But look what he says. For my eyes have seen thy salvation. Look at Nathanael. John chapter 1, verse 49, which he says, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Look at Simon Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The woman at the well, not a clear example. John chapter 4, verse 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And look what Martha said in John chapter 11, verse 27. I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God. That's just a few, my friends. That's just a few. But what's happening, many people in this world, they have the wrong ideas about Savior. They have the wrong ideas about Jesus as the Savior. In fact, Oprah Winfrey herself said there are 50 ways that you can get into heaven. Really? If she's believing by all those 50 ways, I have to say this, she's in for a rude awakening when she breathes her last. She's going to find out there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ himself only. Which brings us to our third point for tonight. When you look at verse 17 through 20. And what's happening here, many today, and even this young man back then, they are having the wrong idea about sin. Woo! Really, Jimmy? That's right. How many of you know today, the people that you encounter today, are having the wrong idea about sin? You are the student of the Word. You're studying the Word. We're all followers of Jesus Christ. Yes, we're trying to meet His standard. Yes, we're trying to be like Him. And we fully understand what sin is, but when you start talking to others out there, they got a different view of what sin's all about. And many of their eyes, the things that the Bible says not to do, they are doing. They say, hey, we're okay with it because that only applied back then. That doesn't mean for today. Well, I'm sorry. Sin is sin. Sin is the same as yesterday as it is today and it will be tomorrow. Sin is sin. God cannot stand sin. He despised sin. And the only way, the only remedy, the only fix for sin was Christ himself being crucified at the cross. But see, the young man himself even says to Jesus concerning the commandments. And notice what he said. All these I have kept. Really? Wow. He even did better than Jesus did, right? Jesus was the only one that was able to fulfill all the law. But yet this young man himself was saying, hey, I kept all these. Wow. You talk about being prideful. Ain't no way I can keep one commandment right now, folks. I'm not going to lie to you. How about y'all? Have y'all kept the commandments? Can you keep the commandments? If you're being honest like me, we will all say no. No, we can't. Because we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that is the only way. The Holy Spirit is the one that teaches us, but yet we still do things that we shouldn't do, and sometimes we do things not on purpose, but we do. But sin is sin. And yet this man was saying, I kept all. No way, Jose, my friends. You see, salvation is accompanied by or with conviction of sins. When you and I were saved, we were convicted. I am still convicted today. I am still convicted of what I'm tempted to do things. I am convicted of what I'm tempted to stray away. I am convicted whenever I start thinking about things. I am convicted when I start watching movies I shouldn't watch. I am convicted about listening to things I shouldn't listen to. I am convicted under many things. Yes, I am convicted. And thank God the Holy Spirit is there to tell me no. Do I listen all the time? No. Am I sorry when I do things like that? Yes. Yes. Our salvation does come with conviction of sins. Because I looked at John chapter 6, verse 44, which says right here, and this is a fact. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Folks, it's not us that goes to Jesus. It's God drawing us to him. He found us. We didn't find him. And secondly, the Bible says there's confession of sins. I confess my sins daily. Every morning, every time throughout the day, I am constantly asking God to forgive me where I have fallen short of His precious glory. Listen, folks, sin can never be dealt with until it is brought out in the open. Now, I'm not telling you to go run out and tell everybody about your sins. No, folks, what's between us and God is between us and God only. We don't need to run out there and tell everybody what we did today. No. Most people out there try to make you confess that in front of others. No, folks. Like the Father says, whatever you do in your closet, in your prayer time, that's between you and God. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Adam in the Garden of Eden, he tried to hide his sins by hiding among the trees. He was trying to hide from God. And notice in Genesis chapter 3, verse 9, when God says, "Adam, Adam, where are you?" Now, folks, we knew God knew where he was at. But God was just calling him out and saying, because he knew. He knew he was hiding. So God was calling him out, "Where are you?" But not only did he try to hide from God, notice this, he tried to cover his sins with fig leaves. You see, man's methods for dealing with sin is insignificant. The only way sin can be dealt with, only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sins. We know this by Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And it's really talking about the parable of the Pharisees and tax collector. And you see, this young man even said to Jesus, "For I have kept all those." And Jesus could see his heart. He knew what was there. And in fact, when Jesus said to him, "Sell your possessions and follow me." And the young man broke the first and greatest commandment right there. Because the Bible says, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, the Bible says to love God with all of our hearts, mind, soul. This is the first and greatest commandments. But yet that young man loved his possessions more. Folks, no material possessions, no sin, no pleasure is worth going to hell over. None. So what holds you back? What holds you back tonight? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? What does it profit, folks? So in closing, I'm going to leave you with this. And I had to think about this very hard. That rich young ruler missed heaven by 18 inches. That is approximately the distance between one's brain and one's heart. The rich young ruler had all the information in his mind. He had it all in his mind that he needed to have eternal life. He knew it. I got it. But when Christ looked deep into his heart and see that he didn't and pointed it out, that young man knew. He now knew in his mind that his own goodness could not save him. He now knew in his mind the only way he could be saved would be to give Jesus first place in his life over all his money and possessions. He knew in his mind exactly what he needed to do. But notice this. His heart would not let him go of his pride and possessions. And that day, he turned and walked away from Jesus. How many people we see do the same exact thing today? We witness to them. We let them know about Jesus. And what do many do? They turn and walk away. You see, I wish here tonight, I wish I can have you turn to another passage of scriptures in the Gospels that will tell us the rich young ruler later changed his mind and accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But folks, there is no such scriptures, which leads us to believe the rich young ruler left this world in a lost condition. As I just said, how many others leaves this world in a lost condition? Oh, what a terrible tragedy. That young man was so close. So close. And yet, the rich young ruler, again, my friends, missed heaven by 18 inches. Make note of this. We are not saved by religion, by good works, by joining charitable organizations, but by recognizing ourselves as guilty sinners under the eyes of the Holy God and believing on Jesus, who died for our sins, was buried, and boldly rose again 3 days later. This is the gospel, my friends. We are saved by faith, and faith alone, in the Lord Jesus Christ, by believing the gospel. That secures our salvation. Can anyone actually get that close to heaven? Pay attention to this. Can anyone actually get that close to heaven and yet hear the Lord say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed thing"? Wow. Folks, yes, they can. The rich young ruler did, and sadly, many professing Christians today are in that same boat. They are. And sadly, this will be the terrible fate of many professing Christians in our churches today. Some of those people are even in responsible positions in the church. Yes, they are. But they only have a head or intellectual acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we call it, they only have head knowledge, but lack it in their hearts. And tragically, enough of these folks, even teachers, and preachers, and religious workers, they're not exempt from the possibility of this chilling indictment above. They're not. I have seen many that has the head knowledge, but they lack it in their heart because they lack the evidence of the Holy Spirit. See, my friends, the distance between the head and the heart is 18 inches. Unfortunately, a head knowledge of Jesus Christ, fully knowing and given mental assent to the plan of salvation, without a heart, acceptance that brings the personal relationship that the Bible demands avails nothing to anyone. And my heart grieves whenever I think about this. Many have head knowledge, but their hearts has not been changed. So as we close tonight, I want you to think of your loved ones, your friends who are outside of Christ. How many of them know what they need to do? How many of them know what they need to do? But they just can't open up their hearts to Christ. How many of our loved ones and friends are just 18 inches from heaven? How many do you know, my friends, that are just 18 inches from heaven? How many do you know? How many? Are you out there sounding the alarm? Are you out there ringing the bell? Are you making any effort to talk to anybody daily about the only way to heaven? Are you making that effort? Are you? My heart grieves every day for my family. I pray hard for them and every opportunity I tell them about Jesus, but yet they refuse to open their hearts. But now I even have more of a burden out there for all the sinners, because folks, lately when I was sick, I've been telling you right now, I had some, I don't know whether you want to call them encounters or the poison in my system, but man, I was hurting so bad. But that put me to the point that I had to depend on God more to get me through this process. And now that put a heavier burden on my heart for those lost ones out there, because I know without Jesus Christ, they are going to hell, because I have the knowledge. I understand that I have been saved through Jesus Christ, but those folks are not. And if we're not making forth the effort, all of us is missing the mark. All of us, we need to do better. We need to do better. We need to sound that alarm. We need to talk. We need to get out there. So the challenge before all of us tonight, and I issue this challenge to you, keep praying. And don't stop praying for the salvation of your loved ones or the lost ones or your friends. Don't stop praying for them. Keep praying for their salvation. And when you get the opportunity, talk to them. Folks, you and I, we must never write them off as hopelessly lost. We must not do that. We must say, you know what? I'm done with it. I had enough of it. I'm not going to pray for it no more, because it's no effort. It's no avail. Folks, it's not us to decide when they are going to be saved, because God is the one that's doing the drawing, not us. We need to stand at front line. We need to pray. We need to be the battle warriors. We need to be those prayer warriors. We need to be the one to be out there. This is why we see the world in such a shape that it is today, because we're not willing to do it. We're not willing to walk that extra mile. And just like that rich young man, he missed heaven. How many people we know today are missing heaven because we're not taking the effort to do something about it? How many? Let's resolve to change that tonight. Let us do better. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you again for allowing us to be here, and thank you again for giving me the strength to present this message to you tonight. Father, whether or not it's just speaking to me or speaking to the folks, you know, I don't know, but I have it recorded. I will upload it when I get a chance to do it. All I can do, Father, is just empower me to do better and to sound that alarm and let the people know Jesus is the only way. I hadn't been doing very well at that, and I admit that. Sometimes I've been sitting in my comfort zone and hiding behind my doors here and not willing to take the effort to talk to someone today about Jesus. I've not been bold enough and trying to present the gospel. And I admitted all this to you, and I told you, you know, Lord, see me through the sickness, and things will change. See me through this, Father, and things will change. Thank you for loving me, for forgiving me where I've fallen short of your precious glory. Put your hand on these folks here tonight and touch them and let them know that you love them. I pray to you with all my heart and all my mind, all my spirit, all the praise and the glory goes to you and not me. I must decrease in order for you to increase, and this is going to be the goal. Thank you again for being with us in mind, body, and spirit. We praise you and glorify you. We give it all back to you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen.